$50,000 to $70,000 a year. 1-800-247-7122. Choose option 2 and ask for a new student specialist.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM radio, your gateway to public radio. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College campus in Kenosha and their studio location, which is high atop the ultra-modern, full-on, cutting-edge bioscience building. Today, I have the great pleasure of introducing our listening audience to my guest, Mr. John Rose. Jack, as he goes by, is alderman of the Kenosha 15th Representative District and of the many capacities in which he serves as a valuable resource to our community. The topic of our show today will focus on his role with the 1st Congressional District Service Academy Nomination Advisory, or SANA, board process. I may refer to that later and will not necessarily go through all the words, so SANA does specifically refer to the Service Academy Nomination Advisory Board. Now, Jack and I have worked collaboratively for several years, specifically on the Fun and Fit Fair and currently with the Kenosha Hometown Heroes Commission, which recognized its initial member at the City Council meeting on May 2nd, a couple weeks ago, 2016. Now, most people would not be surprised to know Jack for his civic involvement from District 15, but also with NAMI. And I'm going to ask him to describe and just talk briefly about NAMI and what it does, but as we get going here. But in addition, he shoulders a signature responsibility in the selection of local students in their quest to pursue higher education on a high-profile platform, which is our military service academies and the Merchant Marine Academy. All of this speaks to a particularly high regard for education-related functions and certainly how they support and prepare our young people in this community. Now, as I do with all my guests, please share with us your professional preparation and credentials as they have supported or contributed to your personal accomplishments. And additionally, share with us the role education has played in your current position, or in other words, why does education matter to you?
Thank you, Chuck. So glad to be here today. And thank you for the opportunity to come on your show and talk about the Service Academy Nomination Advisory Board.
Very, very important. I think there's a lot that people just don't know about, and so I'm going to stop with that undertone there and let you continue, because this is I wanted to do this for a long time and get people informed about this very, very important education resource.
Sure. Just a couple of things about the board. It provides nominations to the four academies that you just mentioned: West Point, Navy, Air Force, and the Merchant Marine Academy. And it provides nominations to whoever is sitting the first congressional seat in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we meet once a year in December, and it's basically a review of the packets of the individual students from the first congressional district who are applying to the service academies.
And want to be given consideration for attending one of those. This is a top-tier education.
That's correct. Yes, it is.
Like bulletproof, slam dunk, you're at the top of the drawer.
It's got a great reputation, and I think one of the things to keep in mind that the purpose of the service academies are to create officers in our various branches of our services. It's not to create a chemical engineer. It's not to create an airline pilot, but it's to create and instill in these people what it is to be an officer in one of our United States services.
And one of the branches of the military or the merchant marine, I will clarify also that, as we've discussed, and people may know that the Coast Guard also has its own service academy in New London, Connecticut, but the Coast Guard is not part of this process because that is Homeland Security.
That is correct.
But again, we're talking about the undertone of the attendance is for leadership preparation. And if one is not interested in leadership at a very high intensity level, they're probably not going to be all that successful. Is that fair?
I would agree with that. And I think what I fall back on as I go through this process, having graduated in 1964 from Bradford High School, I was born and raised here in Kenosha. Shortly after that graduation, I had been accepted to the Naval Academy and went from Kenosha, or basically Chicago, to Baltimore Washington International and right into Plebe Summer. And you see different people that come in to the academy, and you don't know anybody, really, but you're there, you're in that situation. If you look at the particular company that I ended up in with a group of individuals, we had 32 in our plebe class, in our company, and at that time we had 36 companies at the Naval Academy, mm-hmm. and that's what I base my experience on. And so from that, you spend 4 years, and at the end, of the 32 that started, 22 graduated. And
wow.
So I think it's very important, and that's just in one company. That's one out of 36 companies. And so I think it's very important that students that have an interest in going to a service academy, it must be what they want to do. I've seen examples of students that are brilliant that are going there for somebody other than themselves, whether it's an uncle or dad or granddad. And it's got to be for yourself because you're the one that's going to have to do it.
You're the one doing the push-ups.
Dad's not going to do it. You bet. You're right on.
Yeah.
And so I think that's an important thing to do. And that's one of the aspects that we try to touch on as we go through this interview process
mm-hmm.
when we meet these students from the 1st Congressional District during our annual meeting. And we meet at the Gateway Technical College at Elkhorn.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes.
And it's
that would be somewhat centrally located for that congressional district.
Yeah, it works.
So it makes
it really works.
A convenient venue, I suppose, is one way to put it. But for the person who's considering this, and we will talk about that in a little while as we go along here, because I think it's critically important as we talk about and consider timelines and the decision-making process, is there any such thing as a consolation prize, so to speak? And in other words, maybe someone listening today says, wow, I never considered a service academy, but if I can get in and go through the whole nomination process and so forth, well, I'd like to go to Annapolis. I think that would be really neat. But if not, okay, Air Force would be fine. Does it work like that, or how did you end up going to Annapolis? Was Annapolis in your sights the whole way?
An interesting question. In my mind, as I grew up, thank you. I go back to Roosevelt Elementary School, sixth grade.
You were on the boating team?
No, but I had to recite High Flight by John Gillespie McGee Jr.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, in that assembly at Roosevelt Elementary was Lauren Metelsky,
okay,
who went on to be an administrator in the Kenosha Unified School District.
Okay.
So when I got into high school, I got in contact with the counselor, and Lauren Metelsky actually helped me out initially. And what he did with my love for wanting to be a pilot, he said, well, let's go to the Air Force Academy. Let's try that.
Okay.
Okay. So you start as a junior, and it's a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more of an elaborate process now, opposed to what it was in 1963. Mm-hmm. So I started on that road, and you do the initial applications, and part of that is to take a physical. So I think at that time I went down to Chinook Air Force Base in Illinois, and I took a physical. And at that time, I really wanted to be a pilot. So during the process, they were asking me questions, and as a kid, I would pass out sometimes when I get a shot.
Ah.
I wasn't very good with that. Wasn't good with needles. And so they gave it a long name, and they said, well, I'm sorry, but you'll never be able to fly. So I come back to Kenosha, and I was very, very dejected. And so I got a call later on from Lauren Metelsky, and he said there may be an opportunity at the Naval Academy.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. And so
that
there
became
are Navy
your
pilots.
Consolation
there
in
are
a
Navy,
way. Yeah,
there
yeah.
are Navy pilots.
Okay.
And so at that time, I started the process again and received an appointment from Senator Gaylord Nelson.
Okay.
And it was kind of late in the process because having gone through one and been rejected, now
oh,
I just
boy.
Kind of picked it up. And I graduated in June, and that same month I flew out to Annapolis. So
you didn't fly, but yes, you got
and,
there. But eventually you did fly, and this is the
right,
great story.
That's,
this is the great story.
That's what, it, you know, I think it's very important that the people, the students that are listening to that, you know, if
yeah.
you really want to do it, and many –
there is an opportunity.
There is an opportunity. And right now, even students apply to different academies.
Okay.
And you can get accepted at Air Force. You can get the initial paperwork done. You might get accepted at the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also apply through the senators from the state. You can go through your congressman. And so there are much more avenues now that you can do this. And so when we review a candidate for the Service Academy board, we take a look and we see, well, so-and-so may be trying to get a Senate appointment
okay.
from Wisconsin. Well, he may be trying for the Air Force Academy. And so you have all that, and so you as a board – you have to kind of work through this when we have our annual meeting and
okay.
making that
yeah.
decision. So the options are out there. So back to your original question, a person could try to, you know, try to get an appointment to West Point.
Sure.
Try to get an appointment to the Naval Academy, and it's all part of the process.
Sure. And a local success story we found out a couple of weeks ago that Tremper graduate Tony O'Gully, who sat your board, is now – one of the co-captains or a captain of the Naval Academy,
that is correct.
Football team. This
that is correct.
Unheard. This is unbelievably great stuff.
It's a great story.
It is beyond a story. It is really everything that every young leader would want to do. Of all things, not only preparing himself for leadership, a leadership capacity in the military at a very, very high level, but before leaving the academy, taking on the leadership role of the captain of the football team, which is, a very, very high visibility kind of an operation, if you want to call it that. Ken Niumatalolo is no one to mess with, and he's shown that. He's demonstrated that in his coaching credentials and experience at the Naval Academy. And this speaks to a great number of people that supported Tonio in his transition and evolution in that direction. As what did the board do at that point? It looked like Annapolis was interested in him attending. He had some athletic talent, certainly.
Correct.
And the pipeline was kind of biased or skewed in that direction. Is that possible? Is that a fair kind of characterization?
Well, I think you look at Tonio, an outstanding young man.
Articulate,
really
incredible physical
right.
condition. Yes.
Outstanding. And then, so with that, though, Tonio went to prep school
correct.
For a year
right.
before he actually started at the academy. And prep school is an avenue that can come out of our board.
Okay, the
and
interview
so you
process.
Look at you look at okay. the interview, you look at a person's the credentials,
okay.
you know, the SAT, ACT
sure.
scores, class standing, et cetera,
okay.
extracurricular activities. And so in some cases, they will go to the prep school. It's about a 10-month course, and you can go to prep school for each of the service academies.
Sure. Each one gives them time to
get stuff together and get ready to take that step into the academy. So that's another kind of a road, if you may, to get into the service academies. And it works, and it's just outstanding. It's an outstanding opportunity.
And the service academy culture is stark. When Jack Rose left Kenosha and ended up at Annapolis, that's some culture shock right off the bat. And at least I would think that the prep school process, besides teaching you to shine your belt buckles and spit shine boots and so forth and go through this part of the process, is a more gradual, I think, entry. That's the way I see it.
It's quite an adjustment, yes. Yes. It gives you 10 months to kind of get the stuff together. Because that first year at the academy, plebe year, that's a tough time.
Oh,
that's
sure,
a tough
it is.
Time, and you try.
But there's
to
a tremendous
separate.
Amount of camaraderie. There are people in your cohort, I suspect, that you still stay in contact with if they're still around. It's a tremendous bond that you build right off the bat.
They're just they're like they're brothers.
There's so that band right of brothers now, idea, right? Yeah.
As I said, we started with 32. We graduated 22.
Okay.
We still keep
these
in contact.
Natural attritions, or someone said, you know what, I've had it with
both.
Annapolis. I'm going to go.
Some are there because they're there for grandpa.
Okay.
That doesn't last too long.
Went for other reasons.
That doesn't long.
You always tend to disappoint those people.
there are academic.
Yeah, sure.
Reasons. There are discipline reasons.
Sure.
You get so many demerits. Too many demerits. You're over the side.
Right.
And so this is what kind of cuts down the numbers. But to this day, I mean, we've had our, it's hard to believe, but we had our reunions out there.
Sure.
And we're really getting kind of long in the tooth.
Yeah.
But we still, it's a close-knit.
So are your reunions in Annapolis?
Yes.
Okay. And so this is something for someone to look forward to.
It's outstanding.
It's a tremendous bond, a tremendous not only experience, but and it's more than just status. Again, you are leaving with a top-tier education. And was education big in your house, for example? How did that value get built?
Well, I think it was, really.
Were you always a successful student, or was it just something, there was an internal drive? Was it an expectation at the dinner table? Or was this just the means to an end, as for some people it is. Gosh, you went to flight school. My goodness, that is as tough as it gets.
Yeah, I think I wanted to do well. And I think my mom and dad provided an environment and support that allowed me to do that. Neither my mom or dad went to college.
Ah.
My sister, who was 14 years older than I, went to nursing school up in Milwaukee. And when I had this opportunity to go to the Naval Academy, I mean, it was just – it was really special. And I think it's important. I did well academically in high school. I made it through the academy. I wasn't on a superintendent's list or war stars or any of that stuff,
right.
But I made it through.
This is jargon.
That's right.
It means something at Annapolis, and I'm sure West Point has their own counterparts.
That's right.
Yeah.
Superintendents. Yeah. I mean, that's like the dean's list.
Sure,
that's,
yes.
You know,
yeah, I can only imagine.
High stuff, high academics.
Mm-hmm.
But I
you
was
were the admiral's driver.
Well-rounded.
Yes.
I participated in some ports, but you mentioned the culture, and so here comes Jack Rose from Bradford High School, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and my first roommate was a fella, dear friend today, Shelby Gilbert. Shelby Gilbert was from Pensacola, Florida.
Okay.
His dad was a retired Navy captain.
A little bit of Navy flight influence there.
His dad was a retired Navy captain at the time. Gilbs was at the academy. His brother was an F-8 pilot in Vietnam.
Sure.
Navy.
Legend.
Gilbs went through Columbia Prep.
Oh.
So here comes Shelby Gilbert and Jack Rose, and we're roommates.
Thrown together, yeah. From
And it's good. And it's ironic because that first plebe summer, plebe year, I mean, you just, okay, you guys are roommates. Go for it. And you go through 4 years, and when you're a first classman or a senior, and it's you have a you can have a different roommate, you know, fall set, winter set, spring set. And so my last roommate, spring set, 1964, was Shelby Gilbert.
I'll be darned.
So we became great friends.
No doubt.
Great friends. So.
That's, I would think, very unusual. As far as the roommate set is concerned. But changing gears a little bit, and I do want our listeners to know how important it is to go through the board process and what it serves to do. If to talk specifically to students, and you are a student-oriented person, there's not a doubt in my mind, what does the timeline look like at this point? In other words, here we are at the conclusion of the current school year. It's a beautiful Saturday morning in May. And who does a student contact besides a counselor? Is it too late for a senior now, or is the timing at all more advantageous for a sophomore than a junior? What decisions does a young person have to make? And specifically, there are sometimes, and we see this happening just in normal enlistments, I want to get a bunch of tattoos and so forth and so on, and now all of a sudden we have some disqualifiers, and as people change their minds and think, gee whiz, this would be a really, really good way to go, or a change in heart. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be, and nothing's going to stand in my way. Well, that little indiscretion may just stand in your way. Grades. I didn't turn in a project I won the science fair in sixth grade, but you know what? After that, I wasn't all about that kind of stuff.
There is a process.
Sure.
And there definitely is. And I would say people really, if they're serious, they need to get off the dime when they're juniors.
Now that sophomore, I don't think can take anything for granted at this point.
When you're a freshman or a sophomore and you have that in mind, you need to start building your toolkit.
Sure.
And that toolkit consists of academics.
Absolutely.
Extremely important.
Okay. Yeah.
Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Extracurricular activities.
That's exactly.
Community.
Part of
efforts.
The extracurriculars that we
that's
don't
all.
Oftentimes talk about.
And but that's so important because you see the resumes, if you may, of these students coming
Absolutely.
Through now. It's incredible.
Sure.
Well, I mean, with your dealing with KUSD and that.
Sure.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's very important to start your junior year. And specifically, you can check what the minimum eligibility requirements are for the Naval Academy, say. And it's in the website. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And a student should complete the preliminary application from the website after March 1st of the junior year.
Oh, okay.
Or they have some different summer programs at all the academies. So if you want to apply for the Naval Academy Summer Leadership Seminar, you have to do that by February 1st of the junior year, and no later than March 31st. So you've got a window here, semester,
correct?
Basically,
okay. Wow.
Of junior year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really need to get your stuff going,
yeah.
And you have to complete your congressional application in a timely manner, too.
And I'll ask about that because that seems like an enormous barrier. I don't know anybody. This guy doesn't know me from Adam. I'm toast. Why should I even try? Mm-hmm. I don't travel in the circles that know the congressman. And I'm just parroting perhaps what a student might be thinking. It seems like an insurmountable barrier.
But it's really not. And it's very
so it's more accessible and user-friendly.
Oh, and you don't have to know the congressman to apply to the congressman.
Okay. All right. But he's going to know you.
And he will know you
because
by the
record.
Time you come to that interview.
Okay.
All right?
Very good.
And you look at it. And there are staff members. Chad Aber, one of Congressman Ryan's staffers, he has had the lead basically for the Service Academy. And he has been very helpful. He can be very helpful. He helps monitor the progress of these different students. And he's right. He's part of the congressman's staff, okay?
Sure.
And I think when you talk about the nominations, you have to get articulate and distinguishing letters of recommendation.
Sure.
It's really very, very important. and it's a talk of your integrity and your character of the students.
And we'll talk about that in just a second.
Yeah.
This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1, your gateway to public radio. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we're discussing the Service Academy Nomination Advisory Board process with my guest, Mr. Jack Rose, who is a board representative and member. We've been talking about some of the process that leads one into the nomination process, congressional letters and so forth and so on. Of what you've seen in your experience with the board, you've been doing this since 2004, I understand.
Correct.
Is there are there some standalones, signature qualifications and characteristics that one should think about? The freshman, maybe that sophomore who's dabbling with, I don't want education loans. I want a first-class education. This is the way to go. I'm an athlete. This might be for me. What is, or even if they're on the fence about that, is there one standout example of community participation that really comes up big, where the congressional representative is looking at these applications? It's an enormous application process. It is a packet. It is a checklist. Is there something that stands out in your mind that says, yep, these guys that do this kind of stuff really, really shine?
I think it's like anything else. You can put you're part of an organization. You do the soup kitchen.
Okay.
You
yep.
do. You help out with different events. You help out. Say the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We have
sure.
a fundraiser. We need volunteers.
The NAMI connection.
They come to that.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think it's also doing that and the job that they actually do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot more than just listing. I'm doing this, this, and this. Because
right.
when you come to that interview, they're going to say, well, what did you actually do?
What specifically did you contribute to?
Exactly. You're spot on.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that's the kind of detail you get
so
when you go through the interview process. So, I mean, if you get a good list mm-hmm. of community involvement,
mm-hmm.
you know, real community involvement, I think that's important because you look at these students and they can give you a good example of what kind of time management they have. Because if you take an individual who is in school taking AP courses,
mm-hmm.
say, on an athletic team or teams doing very well, serving in a position there, possibly serving in a leadership position or class officer,
sure.
and now you put the community involvement on that, I mean, that tells you a lot. And it really gets to the heart of it. Is this person, he or she, are they good time managers? Because you can really get overloaded.
Oh, absolutely.
Real quick
you take
if you are not.
Too much.
And so, yes. And so it's a challenge.
But if I wanted to get in touch with Mr. Jack Rose and say, look, at, I know you have a lot to do with the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And I'd like to volunteer. I think it would be because I want to go to a service academy. I don't think that's what the director wants to hear in the first
no,
place.
That's
but,
not going to come.
If someone's heart is in it, by the time they get through that application, their background check is done. So that's an enormous advantage when you consider how this contributes to the academy nomination process
yeah.
and that checklist and packet, if you want to call it that. So are there plans? Yes.
I'm going to give you just an example there. The composition of the class of 2018, okay? They had 993 men, 236 women, total of 1,229.
Entering as freshmen.
That was the makeup of the class, yes.
Okay.
Applications to get those 1,200 slots, 19,145.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm not the mathematician,
okay.
but that's an enormously tight envelope.
Okay. Bear with me now. Bear with me. Rank in high school. The top 25% in their high school class, 79% of those folks had that.
Okay.
Valedictorian, salutatorian, 110 out of that 1,200. But composition, varsity athlete, 90%. Team
uh-huh.
captain, 65%.
Uh-huh.
Honor society, 62%. Class leader, 65%. Community service, 88%.
Jeez. Okay.
Okay.
So that young aspiring academy candidate is really demonstrating their commitment not only to their school and their academics, but also their community, and the school is part of that community.
That's correct.
And so this moves and gels real well together. Now, so for this summer's activity, if it's not too late, and I don't think it is, and I someone may have made plans to sell programs at the Kingfish Games or something like that, is it too late to get involved with and try to balance in some kind of community volunteer activity? Is summer school helpful if someone is maybe a little bit nervous about their grades or grade point
certainly.
Average?
Certainly. And that's like, you know, you back to this class that I was telling you about. The SAT scores, verbal, 590 to 720.
Okay.
Math, 610 to 730. Okay?
That's
so
big.
But
we're talking ACTs here for the most part, so there's got to be a correlation.
Here you go. Naval Academy. Right now, desired for candidate packet issuance. This is just to get the packet to the student. SAT, 530, critical reading, math, 570.
Okay.
ACT, conversion, 22, English, 24, math.
Wow, okay.
That's just to get going.
Yeah.
Desired for competitiveness.
Okay.
SAT, 600, okay. Critical reading. Math, 600. ACT conversion, 26 English, 26 math.
Okay.
So that's the ballpark. That's what you're doing. So my point here when I'm talking about these tests, if you take it once and you're not too happy, take it again.
Oh, sure.
And that's something that, again, comes out, and we have – Our interviews are generally in the December time frame, okay?
Okay.
And we have people that maybe taking their test in the morning and working to get an afternoon just to try to improve that,
sure.
Just to try to make it better.
Wow.
Okay?
Well, and there is that correlation between as a predictor of academic success, and no one wants to be wasting anybody's time. But so for this summer, though, I would think that it would make more sense for someone who is an aspiring academy candidate, if this is their sophomore summer, to get started now is not a bad idea, and to turn some things around in case, for example, they're thinking, gee whiz, my academic record may not necessarily help. I can run a 4.440. But
right.
Everything else has to be put into that package.
That's correct. That's correct. And again, you know, I go back to sophomore. Get started. I mean, start talking about it. Look at it. I mean, the access that today's students have for any of the service academies just through the internet is incredible.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's
right.
just.
It can almost be overwhelming.
It can be. But, you know, start the process.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take too much at once. Try to go into it a little bit, you know, slower, but start early, because once you get to the junior year and you want to, say, go out and try the Naval Academy Summer Leadership Program, which is like a week
sure.
out at Annapolis, you need to apply for that
by February 1st,
no later than March 31st. So
right.
we've already missed that window.
Okay, yes.
For
okay.
juniors,
yeah.
you know, for this yeah. year. And I think that really helps the prospective candidates, because it gives them a better feel for it. You can also,
sense
there's another,
incentive.
There's a STEM program, which is
okay.
science,
oh,
technology, engineering, and math.
Yeah. Yep.
That's another program you can apply for,
mm-hmm.
and it can give you some more insight. You can also do weekend visits. I mean, there's so much more than having
I was going to ask about tours and visits and
yes.
so forth. Is that advisable? And I'm sure it's doable, but that really seals the deal when the student can see the actual environment and
yeah.
perceptibly be around the discipline and see someone walking tours and wonder, well, what did he do? You
right.
probably don't want to know.
And I think, you know, today's students, high school students, I mean, it's a different era
mm-hmm.
than we had. I mean, My wife and I have a 44-year-old daughter and a 40-year-old son. Both went to college. And so we know, you know, this whole thing of visiting school.
Sure.
I mean, that was something, I don't know, I never heard of as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was
right.
A different thing. But,
right.
I mean, so what? But it's there
did,
now.
Did you play sports at Bradford?
Yes.
And was that a big part of your application process? And because I am going to get back to, as time is running here, I
right.
think it's important that people realize when you talk about getting started, and Jack is a full-on type A-plus personality. I love this kind of people. I'm one myself. And that's why I think we've gotten along so well. When you say get started, what is step one?
Well, I think to build good base,
yeah.
get good grades.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play sports, try to do sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I played football and ran track at Bradford. So player, but with the different sports at the academy, they had a program that I was fortunate enough to. It's a varsity sport called 150 football. Now it's called sprint football.
Yes, yeah.
When I was going there, you had to weigh 154 pounds. It was like wrestling.
Sure.
You know, on Thursday for a Saturday game. And so now it's sprint football, and the weight has popped up to 175. But it's a sport, varsity sport,
mm-hmm.
and you can play it. So there are so many different.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for that person that may not be of the size that is
exactly.
You know, playing in the NCAA D1 games on weekends and so forth and so on. It's an opportunity.
But I'm going to – just one point there. You talk about, you know, sports a little bit, and you look at Keenan Reynolds, who was the – he was a candidate for Heisman. He was a quarterback this
mm-hmm.
year
at
Naval Academy.
Yes. Yep.
And he was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens as a wide receiver.
Okay.
And he is currently going to their mini camp, and he may have an opportunity. Last year, the long snapper for the New England Patriots
mm-hmm.
came from the Naval Academy. He played the entire season. He was a coach, football coach at the Naval Academy prep school at Newport.
At Newport, Rhode Island.
And now that the season is over, now he is underway on a surface ship.
Okay.
So they're doing.
So is there, there
doing
is a
more.
Way to fulfill your obligation, and
they're
and
working
still,
at that.
Okay.
Yes, the current
yeah.
Secretary of the Navy is doing that.
Okay.
And so, you know.
Well, Roger Staubach was, and we've talked about the Naval Academy almost exclusively, and with good reason. You have been there and done that. This lends credibility to this discussion,
uh-huh.
and so that it's not like we're pulling a lot of stuff out of vicarious experience
right.
or something.
Right.
And I think that's very, very important for people who want to know that there is local access for people with credibility and integrity to be able to represent this path. And what is the advantage? Why would one even think to go to the academy, a service academy, besides the leadership aspect?
I think at the end of the day, I think people that want to go to a service academy should read the Naval Academy mission. The primary mission is to develop midshipmen morally, mentally, physically, and to imbue them with the highest standards of duty, honor, and loyalty in order to graduate leaders who are dedicated to a career of naval service and have potential for future development in mind and character to assume the highest responsibilities of command, citizenship, and government. That's why people should go to the service academies.
Plus the fact that there's no student loans. There's another. It's 100% placement also for a graduate.
Mm-hmm.
They have
yes.
a job.
You bet they do.
High paying and extremely well supported and certainly well recognized. And by well supported, we're talking a lifetime with your branch manager, at least in the Army, that's what it's called. Career considerations even outside of the military and preparation during the time that you are in the military,
yes.
Those management and middle management positions are crucial and are also associated with very, very highly desirable skill sets that the civilian economy values. Now, when I talked about step one, what's the best source? Well, we know about the best source of research to get about academy attendance and so forth, and going on the internet and so forth. But if someone, male or female, who's made a determination that this route is a good fit for them, again, step one is it I contact congressman's office or someone local, or their counselor?
I would contact, and each service academy has one. Again, I'll talk to the Naval Academy. We have blue and gold officers. Blue and gold officers are volunteers who are interested and very knowledgeable of bridging the gap between the high school and get things going. And so you can go to Naval Academy Blue and Gold Officer. Mm-hmm. You'll hit Wisconsin, and it'll give you the regional director. That's the first call I'd make.
Okay. And is that a pretty easy default to get to if you're just doing a generic Google search? I want to go to the Naval Academy. How does it happen in Kenosha?
Yeah. I mean, and just go Blue and Gold Officer.
Okay, Blue, and that'll come up. And
that'll
probably
come up.
Each of the service
the
academies will have something comparable, I would suspect.
Yes.
Well, I'm again, it's not easy, and it's not intended to be easy. I cap all this. Yes,
I have one other thing, too.
Sure.
You can go to Service Academy Coach.
Oh,
this is for
excellent.
All the academies. And the number is 303-952-7656.
Wonderful.
It's for West Point, Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, Merchant Marine Academy.
Merchant Marine. Wow. And we won't I'm sure that Coast Guard Academy is not totally unlike that, but that's a whole different kettle of fish.
And, yeah, it's not part of
in terms of the agency that they fall under.
Right.
Well, this has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1, your gateway to public radio. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and on today's show, we have been discussing the 1st Congressional District Service Academy Nomination Advisory Board selection process with my guest, Mr. Jack Rose, who is a representative member. He is a Naval Academy graduate. He is an incredibly important and valuable education resource in our community, and I think he speaks very, very well to and credibly to the meaning and the reason that we have this show. He has described his role in the function of recommending appointment for students who wish to attend one of the military service academies after high school. I'm grateful to Jack for his time this morning and his persistent patriotic efforts combined with his personal experience, which is instrumental in the success of this crucial student-directed process. Now, his commitment reflects a conspicuous belief in student achievement through excellent, challenging learning opportunities at top-tier institutions of higher learning that prepare each student for success and high-caliber leadership cultivation because education matters. Until next time, thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Good morning. I'm Nora Charles. You know me from Dashiell Hammett's The Thin Man series. And yes, I know, it's almost 11:15 in the morning, and I'm already dressed. Already had breakfast. Hours ago. And you know that that's not like me at all. Not at all. Now, for the beginning of our mystery... Hello? Hello? Must have been a wrong number. That's the third time this week. The phone rings two, maybe three times. I pick up the phone, and either no one is there, the person then apologizes and says, wrong number. Strange. But probably a coincidence. A letter from my dear Nikki, who is still out in Hollywood, where he's writing a script for some new detective movie starring two virtual unknowns, William Powell and Myrna Loy. I'm sure that one-take Woody, W.S. Van Dyke, the film's director, will keep my dear Nikki quite busy. Here it is, Saturday, more than a week after Thanksgiving, December 6th, 1941. And my sweet, dear Nikki,